Welcome to the What's Your Ethos podcast, where we interview leaders from insurance carriers, distributors, and insurtechs tackling some of the thorniest issues in the industry. Hi, I'm Peter Colas, the CEO of Ethos, and today we have with us Susie Keisler-Monroe, the CEO of Assurity. Assurity is a life and supplemental health insurance company, and as a mutual organization, Assurity was founded on the simple concept of people coming together to support each other in moments of need. Susie and I have known each other for several years. Assurity was one of Ethos's first partners, and together we protected many families. Susie's a dynamic leader who has been on the forefront of innovation in the industry. I'm so glad we could do this, Susie. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Peter. It's good to be with you.
So, Susie, you started life as an actuary. What influenced this initial career decision? We have a lot of actuaries listening in on this.
Well, I really had a keen interest in mathematics at an early age. My father was a college mathematics professor, so I guess you could say it was kind of in my blood. The interest, though, in an actuarial career was actually sparked by, probably in my junior high school years, by a longtime piano teacher of mine who had a daughter who was an actuary. And of course, she was familiar with me, having been my teacher for a long time, and knew I had a passion for mathematics. And so she kind of was the first to introduce me to the career. You know, and I think that intersection of mathematics and business has always been something that was of interest to me.
And so over time, you went from being an actuary to an actuarial leader to a general business leader. How did you matriculate, you know, through that path?
Well, you know, I can't say that I ever really set out and aspired to be a CEO, but my career progression really led me here. So the actuarial credentialing process and the actuarial roles that I held, you know, really do help individuals because you get both a great amount of technical expertise as well as a lot of business acumen, both, like I said, through the credentialing process and then and serving in actuarial roles. And even as a young actuary, I think I always enjoyed understanding how my little piece of the work fit into the broader picture for the company and learning more about those other areas. So when opportunities presented themselves to do more and take on leadership roles for both actuarial as well as non-actuarial functions, I was eager to do that and said yes. And as you know, Peter, I served as chief of operations at Assurity for about 17 years before I moved into the president and CEO role.
And so you lead, in my opinion, a really special company. Like, I think Assurity is just a very special, cool company. What do you most enjoy about your leadership role now? And, you know, what do you least enjoy about it as well, when you, especially as you compare it to being more focused on one function?
In terms of my leadership role now, I think, you know, as is probably true for most people in their jobs, the most enjoyable part of the role is the opportunity to work with a core group of leaders that are all really exceptionally bright and talented and passionate. And so that's far and away the most enjoyable part of being in this role. You know, my best days, when I think about it, what I get to work on are those times that I get to work with others, this core group of leaders, to really solve tough problems or imagine possibilities or helped craft strategies for the company. You asked about dislikes too. I guess, you know, in all roles, I think the thing I dislike the most is those things that you have to do that feel like they're more form over substance, because I like to be a doer. And so those form over substance things I have less patience with, I guess.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Was there anyone who's particularly influential in your career?
You know, in my career, I've certainly had the good fortune of having a whole lot of people that had positive influences on my life. I mean, I mentioned my father earlier. I'd put my mother in that category too. My father died when I was 19 of a very rare form of leukemia, but my mother is just a few months short of 90 and still quite young and energetic and engaged. And she, you know, she's been a great influence on my life. She's a woman of great perseverance and accomplishment in her own right, and wisdom and grace and humility and all good things. And then in my career, you know, I've been at a surety for just over 37 years.
Which is so amazing.
I have had the very good fortune at the time I've been here to be surrounded by so many great people, past, present, and it's hard to single out just a couple because I have so many that taught me, that led by example for me, that supported me along the way. Like I said, too many to mention, but certainly someone you know, Peter, I mean, my predecessor, Tom Henning, certainly stands out as someone who has been a great mentor to me over many years.
Awesome. And so can you tell us, Susie, about Assurity, you know, an overview for our listeners? What are the core markets and products that you serve in? What kind of customers do you pursue? How do you go to market? And what are kind of the key differentiators of the company?
Sure. So you touched on it earlier, I think. Assurity's mission is very simply to help people through difficult times. We are very, very squarely focused on providing protection products in the form of life and supplemental health insurance. We are, again, squarely focused on middle-income Americans, really focused on those people who need a safety net to persevere through hardships, both big ones and small ones. As you mentioned, we focus on life and supplemental health products to fulfill that mission. In terms of go-to-market, I think obviously we work in a competitive landscape. So it's really important for us to focus on those things that we think really set us apart and make us fundamentally different, and that give us that little bit of edge against our competitors. You know, we'd certainly list being a certified B Corp, being a mutual insurer, really pride ourselves in having both the flexibility and the capacity to act quickly. And then, you know, certainly we are so fortunate to be supported by an exceptionally engaged and a really high performing group of associates. So that really, to us, paints kind of a powerful combination. In terms of going to market, you know, our main focus is trying to make it easy for our customers to protect the life and the lifestyle that they work so hard to build for themselves and their families. And so to us, that really means focusing on multiple as well as diverse access points for customers. It means really doing things as digitally as possible in today's environment. It means making it easy for people to access coverage because we're using data-leveraged risk selection tools, trying to be more customer-centric with regard to multi-channel service. All those areas are things that, you know, we're certainly still striving to improve upon each day, but things that we spend a whole lot of time focusing on.
Yeah, so it sounds like you've placed a large emphasis on technology to stay competitive. What are some of the most impactful technological changes within the business that you've witnessed during your tenure?
Yeah, well, I'm old, so I've seen a lot. As with most things in the world, obviously, there's been change on a host of fronts in my career, 37 plus years. Technology is the clear driver of change, as it has been so in so many industries. So kind of frame of reference, Peter. So when I started my career, there was no internet. Personal computers were not standard issue at the company. All the sophisticated modeling software and all that didn't exist. And everything was paper, right? The list goes on and on about the difference in yesterday versus today. So today, I think, you know, some of the most impactful changes that have really impacted accessibility is the availability of electronic medical records, making, you know, using data to make it easier to evaluate risk without the need to actually see people or have an exam or a blood draw. I think the advances in technology, software, and just the availability of real-time data and information, electronic forms and electronic signatures and electronic payment methods, you know, all make it easier than it ever was before. And it also provides consumers with, I think, more affordable and customized insurance protection that can be accessed more quickly and more easily. You know, so I think all those things have been key drivers on the technology front. I mean, it is really sad when you think about it. It's easier than it ever was before, but it's also less common today than it was when I started in this career for people to own life insurance. You know, it really is a shame, and it's a failing of our industry to reach people. And then, you know, I think the other thing that I probably didn't mention before that's a big change too is just the consumer's desire and their willingness to shop for things online, at least educate themselves online about potential purchases, and life insurance and other forms of insurance are certainly in that category now.
It makes sense. And so Assurity, I think, very quickly embraced a insurtech partnership model long before it was fashionable. And I would say that Assurity took a bet on partnering with Ethos, you know, far before it was obvious that our model would, you know, be working. How is this general investment in partnerships in insurtech gone? And how do you ensure that the companies flourish versus feeling stifled within the larger company of Assurity? So, yeah.
Yes. I mean, Assurity was very fortunate to work with Ethos in the early days. As you know, Peter, we have a sales channel that's devoted to working with insurtechs. And it's been, I think, extremely valuable in accelerating our own view of what is possible. And also, I think our experience over the years has also kind of reinforced many enduring truths about this business of protecting people and insurance. And, you know, we had partners over the years who've had great success growing production. Ethos is one of them, right? With both Assurity and with other carriers in the life space and the disability income space areas particularly. As you know, Assurity has been really focused for a decade now on trying to offer kind of the best breadth of API suites, kind of that span the fulfillment chain for insurance, and really focused on providing a broader set of products that are supported by those types of capabilities than most do. And so we're really proud of that. It's a give and take when we work with insurtech partners. Insurtech partners are seeking to disrupt. That's why we learn so much from them about what is possible. So we learn a lot, and we hope that they learn something from us as well, because many of the insurtech partners we work with are technology firms first and insurance firms second. And so, you know, there is that give and take. We've invested heavily over the decade in advancing our technology capabilities, because we really know that how we serve agents, how we serve consumers today and into the future obviously looks very, very different than it has in the past. And so working with insurtechs has been very valuable to us, because we really value those relationships, because insurtechs are many of the entities who are really charting that future course and really shaping what that looks like.
And how do you think about, you know, allocating internal resources on, you know, brand new concepts that are not yet proven versus things internally that you know are very proven and can move the needle for you?
Yeah, so that, you know, that is one that, like I said, we have a dedicated sales channel. We don't have dedicated folks like some carriers do that, you know, are off thinking about what's next and kind of in their own little ecosystem and bubble. We tend to leverage people that we have through our normal value chains to kind of be the leads in those areas about thinking about things differently, about being part of the group that meets and works with insurtechs to think about how things could be done differently, or how they maybe should be done differently or look differently than they have in the past. And so it's always a challenge, right? I mean, there are, we're 133-year-old companies, so some truths die hard with regard to all of this. But I think there's also, like I said, learnings that we bring to insurtechs about quality of business metrics and that sort of thing that, that can help them be more successful as they're looking to succeed in starting their own companies as well. But it's a balancing act. You know, we've talked over the years about having a separate unit devoted to such, but we really are focused on experimentation. When we find partners that we believe in the founders and that we can have good dialogue with and that we can set parameters that might not be perfect for us and might not be perfect for them, we feel like we've probably landed in a pretty good spot. And then do some experimentation and learn from it and just continue to evolve. That's kind of been our approach.
That makes a lot of sense. So protecting the middle market is near and dear to our hearts at Ethos as well. And you are succeeding in a place that many carriers talk about but don't make progress on. What has allowed you to succeed in this market? And what do you envision the industry needs to address to actually, you know, make it economically viable and scalable?
I think, you know, access is the most important thing. We always think about things through the lens of accessibility. And I think that's really key in the middle market. So we're really focused on how we expand our reach. How do we protect more people from long-term financial hardship of premature death or a disability? Or things that aren't as serious too, things that though can bust a modest family budget for months on end, like a trip to the ER or, you know, a heart attack. As I mentioned before, people work really hard to build life and lifestyles, and their families really deserve access and a means to protect that. And so, you know, we're very unapologetically focused on that mid-market, like you said. It's not that we don't have products that can be used for other purposes, but when we design products, we're always thinking about accessibility and affordability to a middle market. And so we know, we talked about technology before, we know that matters a lot, but we also know that simplicity matters a lot in the products that we're bringing to market. Simplicity in terms of the products themselves, as well as the access to those products. And so I think, you know, like I said, we're just always thinking through that lens of what our end consumer is, what their greatest needs are, and how we can help them protect themselves and their family.
Amazing. Okay, so Susie, when you look to the future, what products or services are you most excited about for Assurity?
You know, I think that the combination products are most exciting to me. I mean, we offer many of those now. I think that they are products that are certainly curtailed by regulation. Regulators in general don't kind of like the mixing and matching of, say, life benefits with supplemental health benefits. And so, but I really think that is the future. I think trying to serve people throughout the whole of their life, regardless of what the difficult situation they're currently experiencing, again, it gets back to, I think, simplicity and ease, right? And so I think those combination life and supplemental health benefits that can be accessed in a single policy, I mean, certainly they exist today. We offer some of those, you know, our term products, our whole life products all have critical illness benefits as an option. They have disability income benefits as an option, but that's not true in every state. And it's really limited by regulation. And, you know, I'm hopeful that we see our way clear from a regulatory standpoint to do more in the area of combining those types of coverages.
That makes sense. So Assurity's commitment to sustainability is evident through its LEED certified campus, which is beautiful. Can you elaborate on how your sustainability initiatives align with your mission and your values and how they resonate with today's, you know, consumers that you serve?
Yes. So sustainability is one of our named core values at Assurity. So it's where we're really striving to align what our business practices for social, environmental, and really the greater good. And that really spans a wide swath. You mentioned our LEED Gold certified building. That's one way that, you know, that we do that. We have a building that really effectively addresses carbon emissions, energy and water usage, indoor environmental quality. You know, there's lots of features on this campus that reduce our environmental impact. So we have an underground cistern system that allows reuse of stormwater, rainwater for irrigation purposes, low flow plumbing, what else? LED lighting. We have an ice-based cooling system for the building and green roofs as well. And then, you know, in our business processes, we really encourage the use of electronic submissions. We don't require them, but we certainly encourage them. We process all of our business internally in an electronic format versus any sort of paper format. We certainly encourage the delivery of policies and certificates electronically. Again, we don't currently require it, but we encourage that. And we continue to try to work diligently toward electronic means of communication throughout the policy's life cycle. That's still a work in progress for us, but it's something that's really important to our overall sustainability agenda.
And then Assurity is a certified B Corp, as you mentioned, which influences, you know, bylaws and how the company is governed. How does it influence your decisions as a leader?
As you mentioned, Assurity is a mutual organization. And so I view the certified B Corp status as being really parallel to that. Because, you know, as a mutual insurance organization, Assurity really has been a purpose-driven company since its founding. I think purpose-driven companies are kind of a new imperative for a lot of corporations these days, but it's really been something that's been in our DNA since the beginning. So our mission of helping people through difficult times takes a lot of different forms. It is how we serve our policyholders, our agents, each other, our neighbors, our community, and, you know, the greater good. And I think that's what that B Corp certification process is all about. And so it really was just another way that we continually recommit and really honor and celebrate our capacity to use our business as a force for good, which again feels like it's what we've been doing since the very beginning. And so it's been part of our ethos, part of our DNA since we are founded. And I think is, you know, more than ever, people want to work for something that's more than the bottom line, right? They want their work to mean something. We've heard time and time again from associates that our efforts and our B Corp certification are a big part of why they enjoy working for Assurity, and it gives them more of a sense of purpose in their work. Certainly, younger generations in particular, I think, are attracted to that. And so it's something we're very proud of. And it seemed like just a really natural extension of who we already were.
That makes sense. And so let's talk about your leadership, Susie. What are the three most important things that you focus on, you know, in a given week?
Three most important things in a given week. People obviously tops the list because that's what makes everything happen, right? Is people. Having the talent that we need as an organization to succeed and that can position the company for success for, you know, decades to come. So both making sure we have people that are in the right seats, doing the right things every day is super important. And engaging, nurturing, developing those people to be future leaders for the organization. And strategy, that would be number two on my list. You know, I think it's really important for me as well as my core group of leaders to really understand and strategize, you know, how Assurity wins in the market. And so that would definitely be number two on the list. And then I think third, you know, in a given week, it's always about staying current. I mean, the world is changing every day, right? So that's staying current on the industry, on what's going on in our own organization, the broader market, technology, best practices, all of those things.
It makes sense. And how would your team describe your management style? The good and the bad.
You know, I think my team would probably describe my leadership style as collaborative. I think we really focus on working together and collaboratively, knowing that, you know, our best solutions are not one person's solution, right? But they're a collaboration of a lot of different ideas. And then I think visionary. I think a person's leadership style evolves, right? It's where that leader feels most comfortable in dealing with issues and achieving results and that sort of thing. And so I think a person's natural strengths kind of tend to dictate what their leadership style is. My top Gallup strength is strategic. And so I think that leads into that visionary type of leadership, where you're really working on strategy in a direction that's applicable now and applicable into the future. And that, you know, people can and want to buy into in the organization.
Makes sense. What advice would you offer to young people who are looking to make their mark in the insurance sector while staying attuned to the industry's evolving landscape?
Yeah, I think for any young professional, so I don't know that this is unique to the insurance sector, but I think young professionals need to learn as much as they can about their industry across the entire value chain. I think it's really easy to get specialized and focused on one little piece. And I think the greater value is understanding the entire process. Insurance, obviously, ours is a knowledge industry, but so are a lot of other industries, right? And so there's really no substitute for knowledge. I think real experience is a great way to gain knowledge, though, too. And so when I meet with younger folks here at Assurity, I always tell people to raise your hand and say yes to opportunities, because the greatest growth, I think, always comes from experiences that you might not feel like you're quite prepared to tackle. And so I always tell them to raise your hand, you know, say yes. And then I think the other advice that I typically give is that there really are no shortcuts. There's really no substitute for hard work and perseverance. And, you know, as we've gravitated to more remote work and more hybrid work, the other thing that I mentioned, which may be old fashioned, and I'm willing to admit that it might be, I remind young people that there is a power of presence and real in-person presence, and that, and just not to forget that. That doesn't mean it needs to be every day, all day, but I think it can be a difference maker.
Makes sense. On your first point, you know, I found that some of the most influential people in our company are people that can bridge disciplines, whether right. It's underwriting and actuarial, or underwriting and analytics, or technology, product, and insurance, et cetera, et cetera. And they, you know, having a wider aperture and set of capabilities can make you a very powerful person for the organization.
Absolutely.
And so, fast couple questions just to get to know you for our listeners. What's your favorite place to vacation?
You know, I wouldn't pick out one place in particular, but I'll give you this insight. I would always, always, always prefer a city vacation to a trip to the beach.
Okay.
You know, ability to experience history and culture and food and yeah, museums and all of that. So was okay. Had the great pleasure this summer of visiting both Rome and Florence. So those were,
oh man, that's as good special. As it gets. What's the last thing you went really deep on that didn't have to do with work?
That had absolutely nothing to do with work or business. It would have to be learning more about the emerald ash borer that is devastating all of the ash tree population throughout the Midwest, and particularly the neighborhood in which I live, where a lot of the street trees and the yard trees are actually, dying from emerald ash borer, and, you know, just the devastation that it's doing to the landscape in the area that I live. We have two ash trees in our own yard, which we have managed to treat and save thus far, but it really is sad.
That is terrible. What's the last book that you read?
The last book that I read was one that's, it's not a new book, but it is the last one I read, and that is The Fearless Organization by Amy Edmondson. So again, not a new book, but a good one that really explores the relationship between psychological safety in the workplace and high performance. And, you know, obviously talked about this a little bit before, innovation, creativity, they're a must, right, in today's economy. And it really requires a work culture where having people ask questions, challenge norms, take risks, admit mistakes, but where all those things are comfortable and expected. And there's insights into, you know, how you make that more commonplace in that
Makes
book.
Sense.
So it was a good one.
And best piece of advice you've ever gotten in life?
I don't know who to attribute this to, because I think it's actually something that I read. And so I should go back and figure out to who this is credited. But the best piece of advice is, we always have more to learn than we have to tell. And I think it's a good one, because if you really believe that you always have more to learn than you have to tell, it probably causes you to speak less and listen more, which is probably good advice for most of us.
Yeah, I think Seneca, the Stoic philosopher, said, God gave you two ears and one mouth. Use them proportionally.
Yes, there you go. Exactly. And I think, you know, it requires, you to be humbled in order to really live that out and have an openness and a willingness to have your mind changed, which is very important.
Well, thank you for taking the time and sharing all this wonderful information about yourself, your company with us. Our listeners surely appreciated it. I found the session fascinating. So thank you, Susie.
Thanks, Peter. Great to be with you.
Okay. Take care, Bye. Everyone. Till next time. Thanks so much for joining me for this episode of What's Your Ethos? If you're interested in helping to protect the next million families, come join us. You can learn more about Ethos at ethoslife.com. I'll see you next time.